Very lovely to be here. I see faces I recognize, and I see a lot of brand new faces. You know, there are some of you, I know deep, dark secrets about you, but I've forgotten your name. It's been a while. I always associated Beacon with a lot of warmth, a lot of friendliness, artful creativity, incredible music, humor, and a lot of social compassion, but also quite a bit of feistiness. I thank you, Marilyn. I thank you, Derek. Michael, that was a fantastic story. If you're still here, you're probably down with the children. Oh, no, there you are. I see you. You know, that story, I think about that every day of my life for the last 40 years, and yet there were still surprises in the way you did that, and it was very, very beautiful. You're a multimedia man. I ponder how wise I would have been had I had you as a teacher in elementary school. I want to talk about that elephant, and of course, the elephant is elusive truth itself, or the unknown mystery, the creative power of the universe, the way and the path. I like to think of the elephant as the ultimate source of goodness and truth, or simply God. And to improve our understanding of the elephant, we need each other, of course. We need to listen. We need ongoing consultation. We need science and philosophy. And of course, we need the world religions. All that just to catch a glimpse of the elephant. I want to tell you how I got excited about world religions. You know, way back in my early 20s, I took a course in intro religion in college, and there was a supplementary text. And you should know that I never read anything supplementary. I was a neurotic A student, and I only read what I was assigned and made sure I did that perfectly. But I got carried away by this supplementary text called The World's Religions by Houston Smith. It was a page-turner for me. I'm not sure it would be a page-turner for too many people, but I was utterly fascinated. I came away with a deep and abiding belief that all the religions have a great deal of truth and that they should be listening to each other and cooperating on the vast common ground. So I became a universalist immediately as I went through that book, and I'm a universalist to this day. Unitarian Universalists can be very proud, I believe, of their association, that their association is wise enough to include wisdom from the world's religions as one of its precious sources. If we ask what wisdom is generally, we might say it's something both practical and theoretical. That is, it contributes to our daily tactics, but it also contributes to our overall life strategy. I think of wisdom as a combination of deep knowledge and also ethical goodness. Sound judgment regarding everyday conduct. Wisdom is intuitive insight, and it empowers us to link effective means to worthy ends. Just because I told you all that doesn't mean that I actually have wisdom. I think of wisdom as something I aspire to and haven't reached yet, because wisdom is more practical than I am. I want to illustrate that. Some of you will remember that I'm not practical, but just want to give another illustration for those that don't know me. There was a story well told in my family. My two sisters would introduce me to their friends from time to time, and they would say, one sister would say, "Meet my brother Harold. He's intellectual, but not very smart." And the other one would say, "Meet my brother Harold. He has theoretical intelligence, that is, theoretically, he might be intelligent." But we have a far more sublime theme this morning. The wisdom of the world religions, in my belief, is authoritative. I know that that's a scary word for many Unitarian Universalists, but I would say the world religions, the wisdom of the world religions, is authoritative. It transcends merely human tastes and preferences. It comes from the elephant, the ultimate source of truth and goodness. When I contemplate the wisdom of the world's religions, I think of two major forms. of wisdom. One is universally abiding moral spiritual principles, or what many people call virtues, things like love and peace, justice and mercy, reverence and adoration, as well as learning and truth-seeking. Another form of wisdom from the world's religions might be called historically progressive institutional guidance. In other words, what keeps the organization going, the laws, the rituals, the authority structure, etc. I want to look at briefly at those two forms of wisdom this morning, as well as introduce a third that could be called the transformative power of divine guidance, portrayed as female in some scriptures. And then I'm going to conclude on a note of hope, viewing our world family today as progressing toward greater peace and justice. What is the wisdom of the world religions regarding learning and seeking? According to native guidance, we should know those things that lead to our well-being and those things that lead to our destruction. I'm going to share some of these one-liners of wisdom with you. I hope you can just bear with me reading a bunch. According to wisdom, Hindu wisdom, learning and truth-seeking are embedded in this piece of wisdom. Learning enables us to better the condition of our friends and neighbors. True knowledge is the holiest of holies, the God of the gods, and it commands the respect of crowned heads. Buddhist wisdom. The preachers and scholars holding various views are like blind men trying to convince other blind men of the true nature of an elephant. Does that sound familiar? They say, the elephant is like a pot, a basket, a plowshare, a tree trunk, a wall, a pillar, a mortar, a pestle, a rope, a brush. Oh, how they cling and wrangle, says the Buddha, quarreling, seeing only one side of each reality rather than listening and considering and working toward greater truth with each other. According to Chinese guidance, the wise can see a question from all sides without bias. The foolish can see a question only from one side. Christian guidance, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Islamic guidance, I love this piece especially. The acquisition of knowledge is a duty. The boundaries often get broken. Yeah, okay. Good illustration. Islamic guidance, the acquisition of knowledge is a duty. Seek knowledge from cradle to grave. Knowledge lights the way to heaven. It is our friend in the desert, our society in solitude, our companion when friendless. Knowledge guides us to happiness. God has not created anything better than reason, anything more perfect or more beautiful than reason. Baha'i guidance, within thee I placed the essence of my light. But an open and receptive mind is essential. If our chalice is full of self, there is no room in it for the water of life. The wise are like eyes to the body of humankind. And Unitarian Universalist guidance, affirm and promote a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. So this is some of the wisdom about learning and truth-seeking. You know, a very obvious question arises when you go through a list like this or make a quick survey, and that is, why is it that humanity remains so ignorant and so prejudicial and so contentious, even when we've been showered with such wisdom over the ages? And this is not our theme today, but I want to offer a couple of one-word answers to that question. We fall short of wisdom because of ego, self-centeredness, arrogance, hunger for power, greed, fear, and ignorance. And therefore, in addition to wisdom, we need something else. We need to have spiritual discipline. We need humility, receptivity to spiritual guidance, and universal education. Those are themes for another day. I want to look at this virtue of respect and go through another brief survey again, because the fact that religions all teach respect, I think, is forgotten. And once we learn that, we can gain respect for all the religions. First Nations people say, there is a longing among all people and creatures to have a sense of purpose and worth. To satisfy that common longing in all of us, we must respect each other. Chief Dan George. The Hindu faith have equal regard for all, an aspirant or an outcast. Buddhist faith do not look at the faults of others or what others have done or not done. Observe what you yourself have done and not done. According to the Jewish faith, hear the small and the great alike. Observe the same law with strangers and friends. What do some of the other religions say about respect? Christian faith says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Judge not, that you be not judged. The Islamic faith insists that there must be no compulsion in religion. But the followers of all these religions do not necessarily follow the wisdom of them. The Sikh faith says, all humanity shall live in peace together under a shield of administrative benevolence. The Baha'i faith says, observe tolerance and righteousness, two educators of humankind. Why should not the followers of each prophet honor the other prophets also? And humanists and Unitarian Universalists say, affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person and draw from the wisdom of all religions. I want to share one more brief survey on love and unity, other abiding virtues, according to native guidance. The hurt of one is the hurt of all. The honor of one is the honor of all. All things are connected like the blood which unites one family. Hindu guidance, those who experience the unity of life see their own selves in all beings, looking on everything with an impartial eye. Chinese guidance, if there's harmony in the home, there will be order in the nation. If there's order in the nation, there will be peace in the world. Christian guidance, judge not that you be not judged, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Islamic guidance, all of God's creatures are his family. Hold fast all together to God's rope and be not divided amongst yourselves. Seek guidance, all humanity is one. Our misunderstanding creates difference. Baha'i guidance, ye are the fruits of one tree and the leaves of one branch. Unitarian Universalist guidance, affirm and promote the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. So this is a little bit of a list of some of the virtues. I also want to talk about another form of wisdom, which comes in the comes as law or as ritual, or as institutional guidance. As we know, Hindus have a very large body of moral, social, and ritual guidance, laying out a system of societal roles or castes involving priests and teachers, administrators and security agents. I often say that though I'm not a defendant of the caste system, it was designed 4,000 or 5,000 years ago to bring about order to society, and to respect the various roles, and to create expertise within those areas. The Buddhists say, provide for all sentient beings. That has social implications. Spread the new Dharma in all directions out of compassion for the world. The Chinese have this piece of wisdom to have guided them over several thousand years. Live for the common good. Select leaders of worth. Provide sustenance to the aged, employment to the able-bodied, opportunity for development to the young, for each a task and a home. Muslims have said, stand out firmly for justice, even if it requires witnessing against yourselves, your kinfolk, with equal rights for rich and poor, women and men, servants and kings. Baha'is maintain that we should serve all nations and strive for the betterment of the world, co-fashion an ever-advancing global civilization. And Unitarian Universalists say, in terms of institutional guidance, affirm and promote the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process. So that's a quick look at some virtues and some institutional forms of wisdom. I want to share a slightly longer passage that comes from something called the wisdom literature. And I believe the wisdom literature should have made it into the Bible. A lot of it didn't. Some of it made it into the Bible as the Proverbs. There's some other terrific passages that depict wisdom as a woman. And I find that the imagery very intriguing, and I believe these passages get at the essence, the spiritual power of wisdom. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? Hear, for I will speak of noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. By me kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule and nobles govern the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. The Lord created me, wisdom, at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When God established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains underground, when he assigned the sea its limit, when he marked out the foundations of the very earth we live on, then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight. Happy are those who listen to me, watching daily at my gates, for those who find me find life and obtain favor from the Lord. I loved wisdom more than health and beauty. I preferred her to the light of day, for her radiance is unsleeping. In wisdom there is a spirit intelligent and holy, subtle, free-moving, lucid, loving what is good, kindly towards mortals. Like a fine mist she rises from the power of God, a clear effluence from the glory of the Almighty. Hear the praise of wisdom from her own mouth. I am the word spoken by the Most High. It was I who covered the earth like a mist. The waves of the sea, the whole earth, every people and nation were under my sway. I am wisdom. Follow me. To conclude, I'm going to, I always end on a note of hope. Some of the people in my classes call me a merchant of hope, and I take that as something positive. Despite all the bad news we have in the world today, I think there are some sources or signs, you might say, of wisdom. The fact that we are outraged by the so-called Islamic State, that international law and cooperation are strengthening, I take these as signs of righteous indignation and justice. Global concern for refugees is on the rise. Support for displaced families is increasingly multi-faith. I'm involved with a program like that myself in Abbotsford. These are signs of compassion and cooperation. The world is finally taking climate change and the environment seriously. The fact that we can gather unprecedented numbers of world leaders together to curb our consumptive patterns, this is a sign of discernment and responsibility. The fact that some of the world's very wealthiest individuals are focused on sharing information technology with the very poorest nations, the fact that global education is now more than a visionary pipe dream, these are signs of generosity and foresight. We have an intensifying critique of weapons industries and access, along with expanding regional security measures, and I take these as signs of unity and peace building in the world. We even see early signs of what could be called world art, world music, and world philosophy, the blending of sounds and images and the aspirations of all people. These, too, are signs of deep respect and new creativity. As for what we might hope for tomorrow, we might hope for more open-eyed exploration of the elephant, a more consultative world, the merging of science and spirituality, a more universal kind of wisdom. We may hope for a worldwide culture of learning and truth-seeking as the internet comes to link all regions of our planet and as we access the wisdom of yesterday and today. We can hope for deeper respect among the world's religions as their complementary themes and messages becomes a standard part of global education. We can hope for greater peace and justice in our world family as we shift inevitably and progressively, I believe, toward consultative global governance and democracy. And we may hope for wisdom in her transforming power, through whom rulers decree what is just, and nobles govern the earth, loving what is good, every nation and people under her sway. I envision in the future sometime that heads of state will actually study wisdom like the type we've looked at this morning. That as they do that and discuss it and consult upon it, they will have visions of a better world and how each of them can make a significant contribution. Then humanity will co-fashion an ever-advancing global civilization, will be a lot wiser and mature someday. Thank you for your listening ears and your open hearts.